Now this morning, we're so thankful that you have your Bibles and open those if you would so we can study together. Always follow the Scriptures because we want to be sure that you follow the Scriptures and not just me. The book of Hebrews chapter 10 and 25 says, "Forsake not the assembling of yourselves together." Evidently, some in the first century were having that sort of problem and not assembling with the saints, and sometimes you even see that in our situation as well, because we have a Lord's Day every week, and people come together every week, and sometimes it just seems like it's a rut that we're in. We don't really appreciate what we're doing and really take it to heart. So this morning, I want to talk about the Christian and renewal. And that family doesn't represent anybody here, but I want you to know the idea of renewal, that you accept our worship in the best way, that you're glad that you're here, that you look forward to the worship service another time today as we keep the Lord's Day, and as we renew our minds about Jesus Christ and our relationship to Him. Being able to do that is a real pleasure, and we want to talk about that this morning as we look at it. Some are at ease in Zion, as we say, that we're taking it easy. We just fall into the rut. We do it every week, and we take it for granted. And I've even seen some that seem to resent that they don't really, that it's something they have to do rather than enjoy doing. And we need to guard against complacency. We need to have a zeal in our hearts for God that is true of our life, not just on Sunday, but also every day of the week as we serve the Lord through our individuality. And some people are not growing spiritually. They stay as babes in Christ and never learn. And we know that that's not right. Even the physical world, because when people are born, they expect to grow, and so it is when you're in Christ. We grow spiritually and become mature in Christ. So the question comes up, well, what can we do about that? What can we do to improve that? Where do we really stand before God, and what will it really take to change? And these are internal questions that each of us has to look at within ourselves. We are to consider ourselves and see if we have the right attitude toward God and toward worship. And so as we'll look about this then, we need self-renewal. But it's not just in our congregational life. We need to have a renewal spirit as we leave the building and go out into the world, because that's the way we represent Christ in our lives. And we have the attitude, well, I'll go to church, but I'm not going to tell anybody about it. I'm not going to invite anybody to come. Then we're not really zealous as we ought to be, but more complacent. And any group's survival depends on those of whom it consists. A congregation needs to have a solid base of members who are dedicated to Christ and will never give that up and always look forward to the future and what we're going to accomplish. So we have some things in front of us, and the reason I mentioned the project manager is because I'd like for us to think the fact that good things are in our future, and that maybe we'll be able to even have a better presentation of the gospel in our community. But we have to have a solid core of faithful members that we can depend upon to serve the Lord together, and that's what we're talking about. And so churches grow as individual Christians grow. As you know, a chain is as strong as its weakest link. And I don't really know what happened out in Florida with regard to the bridge that collapsed, but somewhere there was a weak point in that. And it was terrible that at least 6 people, maybe more, lost their lives in that situation. It's tragic to hear. But it's tragic when a church does not grow and is not strong. And my hope for this congregation is this gets stronger and stronger and more joyful as the years go by, and as we build a family together, members, that we are really a family of Christians together. And this was brought out in the class this morning, that we have a spiritual family, and it's a stronger connection than even our physical family. I've mentioned before that my father really hated the church. He was never a part of it. What he didn't understand was that I had so many family members in Christ Jesus through the years, those have grown. And I treasure every one of those that we have, that we can be a part of a fellowship and look forward to heaven together. That's what we need. So God speaks on this matter of growing and having renewal. And it's really a blessing to know that every single day I have a way of renewing my spirit and growing. And one of the things is a congregational meeting, because we meet one another, we greet one another, we love one another, and it gives me something special to carry me throughout the next week, because we all have challenges out in the world, and it's so good to be able to have that. So this is true of the Lord's church, that we can have a renewal as a congregation as well as individuals. And when we talk about that, renewal is defined as to make new again. And you might remember back when you were first baptized. I can remember that. And from that day on, I felt a part of something bigger than myself and something so wonderful. And so to restore to freshness or perfection or vigor, to give new life to rejuvenate, to reestablish, to create, recreate, and to rebuild. And this suggests that we've already got a platform, something that is a part of us, but it needs to be renewed day by day, not become stale as a Christian, not become taking for granted everything that we do, but to look forward as a renewal as we build. Thayer's Greek lexicon said about renewal is a renovation, a complete change for the better. Now, that's not to say that we're terrible people. I'm not suggesting that. But I'm saying that sometimes we get into the doldrums and we get into doing things by ritual and by habit. And rather than bring that into the church, we have the idea of rejuvenating ourselves, so that as you go through the week and you find the challenges of worldliness, that you can overcome that. And then you come back into assembly of the saints and you get renewed and strengthened. And that's the intent of God's assemblies. Hebrews 10 again, it said, when you come together, exhort one another. And that's what we do. We encourage one another to do better than what we've done in the past. And so passages that deal with this are very clear. Romans 12, verse 1 and 2, but verse 2 says, don't be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Now, we have things that challenge us all through the week. We have television. We have sometimes school. We have sometimes where we work. There are people that are worldly, that bring evil thoughts before you. And that can wear you down. And I've seen people fall away because they let that get into their system and fall away. So this is a renewal of your mind. And in 2 Corinthians 4:16, even though our outward man is perishing, yet the inward man is being renewed day by day. And this tells us, I heard this many years ago, that this man said he was a dying man speaking to dying people. Well, that's right. We're all on that journey. We're all going to die at some time or another unless Jesus comes back before then. And so we have to recognize that there's a monotony sometimes to life. And the book of Ecclesiastes really brings that out with Solomon. Solomon had so much wisdom, he was trying to find the meaning of life. What does it mean to be in this world? And so he said he tried everything. He tried writing things. He tried it with money. He tried it with building things. He tried it with growing things. Even tried it with many wives. And he said all is vanity. Until it comes to the last chapter. The last chapter he turns around and said the whole of man, as one version says, the whole duty of man is to fear God and keep his commandments. And suddenly we just have a meaning for our life. It's something that I can do because it has a future. And the idea that I look at life, and it's not just vanity where I go to work on Monday and I get off on Friday. We do the chores on Wednesday and worship on Sunday and then we start all over again. And after a while, it just looks like it's sort of monotonous. But in the middle of all that, there's this ability that God gave us to renew ourselves and to refresh our mind. And it's always new to take the Lord's Supper. It's always a memory of Jesus as we take the Lord's Supper. We sing songs that bind us together, and when we're singing songs, our minds are in the same path because we're singing the same words and worshiping God. And so an assembly of the saints is a special place that God intended for it to be. We go out and you can renew yourself individually. We talk about reading the Bible through each week, and we have some charts where we encourage people to read the Bible every day. And in 1 year, read the Bible all the way through, and you're doing that. You're renewing your faith as you do that, because Romans 10:17 says faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And as we do that individually, but then we come together in the assembly, and it's all over again with this. And so again, we have a passage in Colossians 3 in verse 10, where they have put on the new man who is renewed in knowledge according to the image of him who created him. The idea is we're getting closer and closer to the image of Jesus. We'll never get there perfectly. But the concept, the idea of trying to be Christ-like is something that we can be. And as you become more and more Christ-like, it's a pleasure to do the Father's will. And Jesus came to do His Father's will. And when He was on the cross, dying, He said, "It is finished." He had done everything that God expected Him to do, and everything He came to do in providing salvation through His blood. And so looking at that, when we take the Lord's Supper, when we sing, when we worship, it draws us closer to being like Christ. Hebrews 6 and verse 6 was a sort of a sad passage, talking about people who fell away. If they fall away, to renew them again to repentance, since they crucify again the Son of Glory. Now it's talking about the fact it's impossible to renew them to repentance. To renewal. Why is that? Because the only way to go to heaven is through Jesus Christ. John 14:6, "I am the way, the truth, the life. No man comes to the Father but by me." And John 14, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." And so this is the way, the pathway to heaven. And the sad thing about some of the Hebrew Christians was they had fallen away because they gave up the only plan of salvation. They heard it, they obeyed it at one time, but then they turned back to the world. And since they rejected the only thing that could lead them to salvation, the writer of the Hebrew letter said it's impossible to renew them because they've given up the very thing Jesus came to provide. See, it's a serious thing to let your love for God and Christ grow cold. And we have impulses every week that would lead us in that direction. It's the thing in the world, and whether it's television or movies or Hollywood or bad companions, all those things pull us away from the Lord, and we have to insist on the inside that I'm not going to fall into that. I have something that I need to do, and I'm going to do that. And so self-renewal is something that's your possibility. It's something you can do. It's not something the church has to do for you. But it's a renewal of your mind as you think about these things. Personal and inward renewal, where you become familiar all over again with what it means to be a Christian. You become familiar all over again and increase your understanding of forgiveness of sins. And you appreciate more and more the fact that we have fellowship with God through Jesus Christ. And we understand, such as Matthew talks about the fact that Jesus was Emmanuel, God with us. That God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth him should not perish, but have eternal life. And that's such a wonderful passage. That's, so many people have said John 3:16 to be the heart of the Bible. But when I grow cold or somewhat indifferent or apathetic, just to go back and look at the life of Christ and see what he suffered, to see his mighty works, how he worked so many miracles. And you think about those things as though Jesus came to do that for me. He came to do that for me and for you, and that's something so wonderful. The ability to put in place those measures that ensure that we're revitalizing ourselves. We don't grow cold. We don't grow distant from God. We don't grow distant from the church. What we've tried to generate here is that family approach, because it is true. It's not something artificial. We understand that we're the household of God, that we belong to the family of God, that we're brothers and sisters together, and the Bible tells us that Christ is our elder brother, and that God is our Father. And those are things that just make you realize what a blessing it is to be a Christian, and something that we can renew every day and get stronger every day as you understand these things. So you consider your own life. How do you feel about religion? And that's a personal question you need to ask yourself. Is it something routine? Is it something I take for granted? Or is it something that just truly makes me realize how blessed I am? And when we're praying at night and we say our prayers before we go to bed or after we get in bed, we pray to God our Father. We ask for renewal. We ask for more faith. We ask for more opportunities to do good. And wake up the next morning as a new day, that we have all those things. Do you have zeal for God? Zeal is the idea that I pursue something. And this is something, again, it's a personal question. And I have seen people that really looked at worship as a drudgery. And I realized they've missed the whole thing. They've missed the whole point of being one with God, having a fellowship with God, having forgiveness of sins, having the hope of eternal life. Those things don't come cheap. And I can't put a value on it so far as dollars are concerned, but it's the most important, most valuable thing in all the world to be able to say, I'm a child of God. My sins have been forgiven. I belong to the family of God. And the Hebrew writer again talked about the fact that the church universal, or those who've all been saved of every age, that this is the household of faith, and that we belong to that. So, you know, when you think about going to heaven, I think about meeting Paul. I've mentioned before Brother Robert Turner, a preacher who's dead now, he always said that when he got to heaven after the judgment, he wanted Paul to do a Bible study on the book of Romans. Because that's a difficult book, but a very valuable book. And I said, sign me up too. I want to be there. But would you think about meeting Abraham? He's talked about so much in the Bible, to meeting Paul, to meeting Jesus face to face. And those are things that we have in front of us. As I get older, and my wife laughs when she goes to the doctor and he says, well, at your age, you have to expect these things. And she said, please don't tell me that again. But at our age, we can look forward. I'm not going to be around here all that much longer, and I know that. But I'm not afraid, and I'm so excited about it. I'm so excited about it to know that when I look back at Luke 16 and talk about Lazarus and the rich man, and Lazarus died and angels came and carried him across to paradise. My, I'd like to meet Lazarus. He was a godly man. But you think about all the Bible characters, Adam and Eve. They're all our four parents. Yeah, I'd like to meet Adam and Eve. And he didn't make Adam and Steve. So I want to meet Adam and Eve. And to understand these things are in front of us, that's something to really consider. But how easily are you distracted? For example, you say, well, there's a television show that I want to watch tonight, so I'm not going to be able to come to services tonight on Sunday night. What? You don't want to be renewed? You don't want to meet your brethren? And what if Jesus came back Sunday night? And I've always thought, it'd be so wonderful if Jesus came on Sunday night after we've had our worship here. And when we finish our worship here, we'll just start worshiping over there. And something like that's going to happen at some time. Jesus has appointed that day. Is your biblical knowledge greater than it was a year ago? Can you say that you studied and you understand better than you used to? I'm going to hurry along in this. Consider your own life. What about 5 years ago? Were you even a Christian 5 years ago? But now that you are, how do you feel when you first obeyed the gospel? Are you continued looking for ways to serve Jesus and your brethren? And that's important. Is Christ the center of your thoughts? When you leave here and you go to work on Monday and these problems come up, do you keep Christ in your thoughts and even pray on the job because it's so good to do that? Is your Christianity existing or moving at a slow pace? And through the years, I've met someone that doesn't know any more about the gospel than when they obeyed the gospel. They just sat down on the edge of the baptistry and sort of died. And that's not the way that we need to do it. So I want to look at these things and let you have to self-examine before you renew. And you consider the churches in Revelation 2 and 3, and all of them needed renewal except Philadelphia. They were close to losing their candlestick. And I think about Northside. Are we still fervently working for the Lord? Or have we come to the place where we might lose our candlestick? And I don't believe that's so. Some in those churches had sinful practices that needed correcting. Some had poor attitudes. The Laodiceans thought they were rich when Jesus said, "You're very poor." And today, some churches are dying. When I was in McKinney last Sunday, I met a brother from Lubbock, Texas. He had been an elder in Lubbock. He was a member of the Cap Rock Church in Lubbock. And my mother and brother worshipped at the Cap Rock Church in Lubbock for a number of years. And I met him, and I said, "Now, I had heard that the Cap Rock Church had disbanded, so I called to find out, and I talked to one of the elders. He said, 'You talk to me.'" And he said, "I was the last one that left the building, turned the key in the lock, and left it. Oh, it had a marvelous history, but it just died." And that can happen to us if we don't keep renewing ourselves and having zeal for the cause of Christ and wanting to talk to people. Some churches are dying. When I lived in Tampa, Florida, there were 3 churches in the area that ceased to exist. And when you look around, a lot of the churches of Christ today are full of old people. Old people. And I'm not opposed to that because I are one. But it's, you know, where's the next generation coming from? And we have some young people here, and we're thrilled our death. In fact, up at McKinney last week, there was a family that had 3 little children. And one of them was crying a lot. And they were apologetic. And I said, "No, don't you apologize. That's a good problem to have. And when a baby starts crying, I just get louder." And I said, "You keep your seat and you go right on. Teach them what's right. But we're glad you're here. That's the church of the future." And that's what we need to think about it. I'm not advising anybody here to go ahead and have more children. But the idea that we need to have young people. And membership is dwindling with some. Thankfully, we've had some obey the gospel and some place membership. We intend to grow. And our website is, sometimes we'll have as many as 300 a week look at it. And we've had from India, someone taking the correspondence course. And when they finished it, they said, "We're going to spread this all over where they live in India. So good things are taking place. We don't always know about that. But sometimes only a select few show interest. Are you holding your own? Or in the rut? Or are you thriving? That's the way it would be. And I want to get one more point before we close. We're expected to grow and to thrive as we grow up in Christ Jesus. Grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, 2 Peter 3:18. Always room for growth. I don't care at your age. You can still grow. And 2 Peter chapter 1, the virtues there, add to your faith all of these things. And that's a challenge to not add just one of them, but add all of them to your character. And a mature Christian does this. It thrives. And Jesus said in John 10, I have come that they may have life and have it more abundantly. When I think of abundantly, I think of the farmer. You go out to the farmer's market and you buy a bushel of peas, and it's never full enough. But when the farmer gives you an abundant bushel, it's packed down and running over. And that's what this is. The abundant life as a child of God, packed down and running over. And Peter said again in 2 Peter 1:8, if these are things are yours and abound, you'll be neither barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's possible for every one of us. And so the inward man is being renewed day by day. You can be a stronger Christian. No matter what happens around you, you can be a stronger Christian. And 2 Corinthians 4:16, don't lose heart. Even though the outward man is perishing, the inward man is being renewed day by day. And that's what we're looking at. So that failure to grow is rebuked. The Lord rebuked that. But many are content just to exist. And I hope that's not true with us. We need to move on and move ahead. There's one point I want to make before we get through with this. The danger of not progressing. The writer again of the Hebrew talked about those who ought to be teachers. They're unskilled. They need someone that teach them more that they don't know enough. And you might grow indifferent. And in Christianity, indifference is a big concern. I remember a poem that was written over in England about Birmingham, England. And it was said that the Jesus came back to Birmingham, England, and he walked the streets and nobody cared. And you know, Europe has become secular. Nobody is going to churches over there anymore. The big cathedrals are just places for tourists to visit. And the story is he went back to Birmingham, England, and walked the streets and nobody said anything. Nobody cared. And somebody asked him about that. He said, I weep again for Calvary. Calvary is not more hard than the indifference of people. And when we get indifferent, we're never going to be the child of God. And so I wanted you to look at these two words here, ignorance and apathy. And then I heard sometimes people say, well, aren't you concerned? Don't you believe that ignorance and apathy are a danger to the church? And his response was, oh, I don't know. And I don't care. I have to think about that a little bit, but it shows ignorance and apathy. So I'm going to close with that. I wanted to get to that point. I could preach longer, but the important thing is that we come to realize how